Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. And for all those joining us live on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. I'm your host, Drew Mindell, joined by Dave Manouk and Ezra Ginsberg, talking about the Winnipeg Jets' victory tonight, a 5-2 victory over the Toronto Maple Leafs. The Jets finished their five-game road trip with a 4-1 record. Things going well for the Jets tonight against a depleted Toronto Maple Leafs team that did not have Austin Matthews in the lineup, that did not have William Nylander in the lineup, and the Jets, of course, still without their captain, Blake Wheeler. Gentlemen, good to see you on this Thursday evening. Second half of a back-to-back game for the Winnipeg Jets, and you certainly wouldn't know it given the effort they put forth, given the energy they expended. Full marks for the Winnipeg Jets getting tonight's victory over the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there was a little bit of a lull there in the second period. But, yeah, you're right, Drew. And, you know, the Leafs came into this game, obviously, having lost two games in a row. Now they've lost three games in a row. But, you know, this is the way you want to end a road trip. And the Jets love ending road trips with wins, right? Dennis mentioned it on the broadcast. You know, they're 4-0 this season. In three games or more road trips at the end, right? Which is really incredible. It's kind of one of those unusual stats, right? And, you know, Dennis even joked, you know, that now is the, dreaded first home game after a long road trip coming up, right, boys? But obviously you don't want to get too ahead of yourselves, but, you know, 5 points is what the Jets entered the game behind the Leafs. And, you know, it's the cliche 4-point game, but, you know, if the Leafs take the clean 2 points, the Jets really don't have a shot at catching them. And now they do. And you can say whatever you want, guys, about first place in this division. And if home ice really means anything, you can make that argument in a regular year, but we know there aren't going to be fans in the stands for home games this year, or road games for that matter. But an impressive game. And, you know, what stands out to me is that goal that Nikolaj Ehlers scored right before we came on, boys. Like, there were a lot of Jets that were good in this game. Shifley was good. Connor was good. I thought Neil Pionk had a really strong game. Obviously, we're going to talk about Ville Heinola. But, you know, the goal that Nick Ehlers' second goal, of course, I mean, he doesn't just do that to an average player. That's Mitch Marner. That's one of the best offensive players in the league. And obviously he makes David Riddick look really bad, you know, for deciding to, you know, take a swing at that puck. But, you know, that goal by Ehlers, and they clocked him at 37 kilometers an hour on that goal. But that really, sealed the deal. That really put the nail in the coffin for the Leafs there. It was over after that one.
Yes, excellent use of cliche analogies there, as you like it. But you're not the least bit
just
wrong.
Call me Captain Cliche, Drew. You know I've got more.
I'm sure you do, and I expect that we'll hear them over the course of the next 30 to 45 minutes.
You just
got to
get pucks deep, Drew. You know what I mean? You got to outwork the opposition. Just get pucks deep.
I like it there, Ezzy. I like it. You know that. You know nothing but love for you there tonight. Nice to see you again after you took last night's game off. You know, we can't afford your contract when they go back to back. Your demands are just too excessive. Dave, you know, the Jets, you know, everything about that worked out well. Didn't necessarily start that well. You know, they give up the early goal to Alex Galchenyuk, the one that, well, I mean, I don't know what the refs missed there, because I was watching, on my phone. I was out with my kids, and I was, you know, they were at swimming lessons, and I was watching. I'm like, that was a goal. I don't know why the refs didn't catch it, but in any event, they eventually did.
It had the
did.
Feeling of, I remember I was once at a game many, many years ago. It might have been just 1.0, I think, and there was a game where they scored, and like 2-3 minutes expired, and you're just like, and like there were no whistles, and then the Jets scored. And I maybe it was against the Oilers. I don't remember. And then they went back and they reviewed, and it turned out. So it almost felt like that. It was almost that situation. But yeah, that was an unusual one where they waited, 46 seconds before they blew the whistle. And then look, it's a 5-on-3 and the Jets killed.
That's just where I was
going. And that to me is probably the key point of the game. You know, the three goals obviously in 3 minutes and 10 seconds. That's big. Some of the plays that led to those Jets goals, you know, that don't get credited, I think, are meriting mention. But yeah, there's no question to me that 5-on-3, you kill that. If Toronto smells a little blood in the water and they go up 2-0 or 3-0, I'm not saying the game's over, but it makes it a lot more difficult to climb back. And you could say, oh, well, you know, we were 4-1 or 3-1 coming in. Now we're 3-2 without the captain. It's, you know, whatever. But the point is that instead of doing that, You come in, you kill off that 5-on-3 successfully. I thought Pullman played well the way, you know, in that kill. And again, to me, the plays, not so much the goals even, which were nice, but I thought Matthew Perreault taking away Jack Campbell's eyes on that power play goal by Nikolaj Ehlers. And then, I mean, on the goal by Nikolaj Ehlers. And then the play by Pierre-Luc Dubois to lift the stick, which allowed the play to get out of the Jets zone. You know, again, those are plays that don't get credited with assists, but they're so critical to those goals ultimately happening. And again, those players are just, it's one of those funny things that you don't really get credit on the score sheet, but if it's not for those, but for those plays by you, you know, the goals are most likely not happening.
Yeah, and I was going to mention that one. You know, I just wanted to say, Drew, that, you know, the Scheifele goal where Dubois lifts, it was Mitch Marner's stick. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, you know, I'm not sure.
Not a great night for Mitch Marner.
No, and it wasn't a great night for Jake Muzzin either, because Muzzin, you know, blew a tire there. And, you know, at first when that goal happened, you're kind of watching that goal and you're thinking, okay, you know, Muzzin just, you know, he was kind of in no man's land there, Dave, but it was all the Dubois lifting the stick of Marner, which led to the Scheifele breakaway. Because you're thinking to yourself, like, how did Scheifele had a breakaway from center on in, right?
It was unbelievable.
And Dubois was really good. And that's something
that, blue line almost.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'm sure we're going to talk about the lines. Like, that's something that, you know, we haven't seen since Dubois first came over to Winnipeg, him playing on the wing, right? But, I mean, you wonder what happens here, guys, because there's always the chance that Blake Wheeler comes into the lineup on Saturday. And obviously, you know, we have no idea. You know, he's been skating all week, obviously. But, you know, you wonder if Wheeler isn't able to go Saturday night, is Maurice going to keep these lines together? Because obviously he had a lot of success tonight with those top two lines.
Yeah, well, and that's what I was going to want to mention. A lot of the, you know, the contributions on this road trip, especially last night in Ottawa, came from not your top guys, not the drivers of your offense. I mean, last night, you know, you had the Matty Perreault power play goal, you got a Trevor Lewis shorthanded goal, you know, so a lot of last night came from lower down in your lineup. Tonight was a night for the big boys to shine. Nikolaj Ehlers, I mean, yeah, I don't know what it's going to take. I don't think it's going to happen, unfortunately, or fortunately, really, that he's going to get the respect that he deserves from elsewhere outside of Winnipeg. But he put on a show tonight, and he made Mitch Marner look absolutely foolish on that fourth goal. He just outskated him. And you hear, I mean, the ad nauseum praise of Mitch Marner, which just comes with the territory for somebody being, you know, a good player with the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I like Mitch Marner as a player, so I'm not criticizing him, not beating up on him. But, you know, Nikolaj Ehlers saw that opportunity and he left Mitch Marner in his dust. And then he breaks in on David Rittich, and Rittich is in no man's land. And he looks like me playing goal, playing mini sticks against my kids there. So sort of flailing aimlessly, trying to knock the puck away or the ball away as it goes through his legs and the puck is in the back of the net. I mean, that was as impressive of an effort as you're going to see from an NHL player, especially when it looked like almost a nothing play to start with. You know, I think what happened was Nikolaj Ehlers saw his old buddy Patty Laine going end-to-end for Columbus a couple nights ago and said, I'm going to one-up you, my buddy. I'm going to steal the puck from Mitch Marner and score my goal and get my accolades and my kudos for that. It was a fantastic goal for him, a fantastic, really, game for the Jets. I mean, anytime you're getting two from Ehlers, two from Connor, albeit one into an empty net, and then one from Scheifele, well, you're saying nothing wrong with that performance by the Winnipeg Jets.
Right. And, you know, you mentioned that, you know, yesterday against Ottawa, you were getting goals from the bottom two lines. And, you know, tonight you're getting goals from your top two lines. And that's the mark of a good team, right? And, you know, we've talked about this so many times, guys, like, you know, these games don't have as much meaning as maybe we thought they would, a couple of months ago when you thought maybe the Jets would be battling for a playoff spot. Now they're battling for first place, right? And it's going to be really interesting. We know that, you know, starting with tonight's game, seven games are against the Oilers and the Leafs. So really there's going to be it's just jockeying amongst those three teams. And now that the Jets have an opportunity to catch the Leafs, even though, you know, the Oilers have a couple of games in hand, the Oilers are chasing them. They're right behind the Jets. Obviously tonight's win helps. Mm-hmm. But you know, I do think, you know, these games are maybe going to have a little bit more meaning than they thought they would a week ago. Don't get me wrong, Drew. I mean, you know, there's going to be some games that aren't, you know, Picasso's, but, Yeah, I mean, well, I really like what Ehlers did. I mean, we've talked about this so many times. I think you're right. It's possible that Ehlers never gets the recognition he deserves. I remember, I don't know if it was December or January, and we were talking about the NHL Network's top 20 wingers, mm-hmm, and the first thing I said is, like, where's Ehlers? Taylor Hall also wasn't in there, but that turns out that was probably the right choice based on the season he's had. But no, absolutely, Ehlers should be considered a top 20 winger. It doesn't even matter. But when he makes plays like that, it's just incredible. That's all Ehlers. Like, no, all due respect to the rest of the Jets, like, that goal, he wasn't helped by anybody. He created all of that, right? And you're right, Drew. He made Riddick look really foolish. And I think, you know, Dave knows this. Ehlers feeds off of the power play. He gets the goal, and, you know, sure, Jack Campbell probably should have had that. It looked originally like Matty Perreault might have got a piece of it, but Ehlers is a guy who we know scores goals in bunches. He's a streaky scorer. You know, it's possible that, you know, you see him go 3, 4, 5 games plus without a goal, and then it seems like, you know, he has a goal in, you know, 6 or 7 straight games, right? So, yeah, he's playing the best hockey probably of the season right now.
It's certainly an impressive performance by Nikolaj Ehlers, an impressive performance by the Winnipeg Jets in total tonight, a 5-2 victory in Toronto to finish the road trip. We say good evening to everybody who's just joining us. Welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. We're live on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms. So nice to see so many new and familiar faces in the chat tonight. While you're here, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Give us a thumbs up, ring the bell. Every time we go live here on our YouTube channel, get alerted by subscribing and you don't miss a thing. We're live every post game here on this channel, as well as the flagship Saturday morning Illegal Curve hockey show. So nice to see everybody. As I mentioned, I'm your host, Drew Mandel, joined by Ezra Ginsberg and Dave Minuk. And, you know, I mean, you know, as much as, you know, you can say legitimately that, you know, the Leafs were without Austin Matthews, and that's totally fair. They were not at full strength, and the Jets were not at full strength either. What I do think was sort of an important factor in this game tonight is that Jack Campbell came back to earth, and you knew he wasn't always going to win. But that was always the big sort of advantage that the Jets had over the Toronto Maple Leafs, was goaltending. And Jack Campbell tonight did not look good for the Maple Leafs, and that's why he got pulled after giving up, you know, 3 goals. You saw it on the Ehlers goal that opened the game on the power play. That's a relatively routine glove save that he should have had. He didn't. Puck in the net. So he now the doubts are beginning to creep back into his mind to some extent. I'm not going to say that he's going to collapse altogether, but that was the big advantage that the Jets had over the Leafs. And then for a while there, that advantage was neutralized. If Jack Campbell's not playing excellent hockey for the Leafs, well, the truth is the Leafs have 3 goaltenders in Campbell, Freddie Anderson, who's injured, and David Riddick. And you know, when you got 3 goaltenders and you might not necessarily have a number one, you got potential problems come playoff time, Dave.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's no question about it. I mean, that's what we've been talking about with Toronto all along. And the situation seemed to solidify for them in the sense that Jack Campbell went on that incredible winning streak, right? I mean, he won his first 11 games of the season and he seemed like he was a giant killer and he was unbeatable. Mm-hmm. And again, you don't wish the guy poorly. I mean, he's, you know, it's such a remarkable story. And you know, it was more a function of whether he'd be able to stay healthy as opposed to whether his play would fall off. And it appears that his play has fallen off a little bit. Now he's, you know, got a couple of losses, back-to-back games for him. So that's not ideal, obviously, especially when you get, you know, pulled after the first period, or not even after the first period, but in the first period of a game, especially a big game, right? I mean, you've got a Toronto team that, to Ezzy's point earlier, you want to create a little separation between, it's funny because, sorry, I'm just going to interrupt myself. I was thinking the same thing as Jay Smoo there. I thought of the same thing. I thought of Andrew Hammond, the idea that he just kind of came on the scene, went, you know, gangbusters, and then
Jay Smoth, again, not Jay Smooth.
Jay Smoth, sorry, I read it a little quickly. But the point is,
Jay Sloth.
The point is, and it's funny, it's kind of like, you know, I'm wearing a baseball hat, so I'll use a baseball analogy. Again, guys start to figure you out by the 6th inning, right? And if you don't
have... 2 times through the rotation.
That's right. And if you don't have the ability to change up your pitches, guys start to maybe figure you out a little bit. And now that the Jets have faced... I mean, now Campbell was 2-0 against the Jets coming into tonight. But the truth is, and I thought the Jets were, you know, especially for their last game of a road trip on a back-to-back, I actually thought they had pretty good legs tonight. I thought some in this, as he's right, I thought the second period was a little ho-hum, and I thought they were standing around a bit. But I thought for the most part, you know, guys were still, it was almost like, and I mean, as he quoted the stat from Dennis, it was like you could get that sense, like, you're almost home. You just finish it off, you know, as Happy Gilmore said, send it to your home. Don't you like your home? So I think it was one of the, and especially with all the snow in Winnipeg, I don't know if anybody wants to go home. But the point is, I think the point is that the Jets just looked like they had a little more jump than, you know, maybe we were anticipating for this game. And they got up for the game. And look, Connor Hellebuyck was Connor Hellebuyck. And you walked away 5-2 winners and with a clean 2 points. Again, and impressive to be able to go 4-1-0 on the road without Blake Wheeler in the lineup.
Well, you know, to what you're saying, you know, the Jets' best players, the ones that were in the lineup for them, were better than the best players that the Leafs had in their lineup. And I mean, and almost, you know, it can be as simple as that. You know, John Tavares obviously, you know, tried to do his part of, you know, getting that second goal to make it 3-2. You know, nice pass from Jason Spezza, and, yeah, you know, Alex Galchenyuk, you know, got the first goal. And, you know, but after that, you know, the Jets' best players said, we're not going to lose this game. We're going to take over this game. We're going to ensure that we finish this road trip on a high note. And that's what they did tonight. I mean, the Jets get full credit for, on the second half of back-to-back, you know, both teams playing their third game in 4 nights. The Jets' best players were better than the Leafs' best players. And, you know, that when the Jets' best players are clicking like that, they're as good as any team in the NHL, especially when you add in Connor Hellebuyck on the back end. The defense is all obviously still going to be the question, but, you know, in tonight's one game sample size, the Jets defense was way better than the Leafs defense, because boy, did the Leafs D look like they had some troubles on a number of different plays. You know, the Scheifele breakaway, certainly one of them, where it looked like he was home free from his own blue line, as he.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no doubt that it was not a banner night for the Leafs. And you know, going back to kind of what we were talking about before, you know, these two teams, I mean, we know the Jets took 5 of 6, you know, just, what was that, 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And then the Leafs took a couple of games in Winnipeg. It just seems like, you know, each team is more comfortable in the other team's building. But yeah, Muzzin didn't have a great night. And to your point, Drew, about, you know, John Tavares and Mitch Marner, it was kind of a weird game, guys, in the sense that even in the second period, when the Leafs, you know, had more possession and were the better team, you know, there wasn't a lot of sustained pressure from mm-hmm. either team, really, right? Like, you think about it and you're like, there were 6 goals in this game. I guess you can take away the empty netter, but I mean, there just wasn't a lot of those high danger scoring chances. I just thought the Jets played a really efficient game. And that was kind of the criticism in those 3 games earlier this season against the Leafs, in which Connor Hellebuyck really had to steal the game and the Jets were giving up too many high danger chances. Like, there aren't that many high danger chances aside from the goals. Like, I know, you know, in the third period, Mitch Marner had a chance, and Connor Hellebuyck was just in position, and it was an easy save for him. Remember Nick Robertson, you know, only with maybe 3 minutes left, had a good chance, and Hellebuyck just made the save look easy. Like, it was a relatively easy night for Hellebuyck, and you mentioned earlier, you know, no Matthews, no Nylander, Dave, and, you know, that's a valid point. But even without those two players in the lineup, this is still a really good Leafs team. And I still think, guys, if these two teams match up in the playoffs, which will most likely be the second round, it'll for sure be the second round, actually. I think these two teams are very evenly matched. And yes, Jack Campbell definitely came down to earth, and he wasn't going to win, you know, 20 games in a row. And the Jets definitely have the advantage, because right now you'd give the edge to Campbell, but the big question mark is Freddie Anderson's health. He hasn't played in over a month. And yeah, David Riddick has looked good in his, what has he played, you know, a game and a half in a Leafs uniform. So it was a smart pickup, but nobody's going to take Riddick over Hellebuyck. So, you know, give the Jets a lot of credit here. You know, they played a really good road game, and, you know, now they go back home with the chance to catch the Leafs for first.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And you talked about sort of minimizing the high danger chances there, Ezzy, and, you know, comparing, you know, how this game looked tonight versus how those 3 games looked a couple weeks ago, you know, albeit the Jets succeeded in those 3 games, you know, 4 high danger chances all night for the Toronto Maple Leafs, according to Natural Stat Trick. I mean, that at 5-on-5. So, you know,
yeah, of course,
you know, that's always the caveat there. But, you know, that's an incredibly low number for a Toronto Maple Leafs team, even one without Austin Matthews, because it's not like they don't have you know, supplemental firepower behind them. But when the Jets have 7 high danger chances and the Leafs only have 4, then you know that what they are doing, you know, in that game, and the effort that the team is playing all together to keep everything away from that, you know, danger zone is, you know, the results speak for themselves. I mean, again, you know, it didn't start off that well. And after the Galchenyuk goal, which, you know, you look back and you watch the highlight of that and you can see Scheifele, you know, that's Scheifele, the lack of attention to detail in his own zone coming back to bite the Jets. Because if he's harder back and if he's faster back and he's not coasting, as you can see on the replay, he's coasting a little bit there. He can tie up Galchenyuk's stick. It doesn't necessarily lead to that goal. But then from that point on, boy, the Jets really, you know, the tipping point really was that 5-on-3, Dave. You referenced it, or if it was Ezzy who referenced it, you know, you get away from that 5-on-3. You don't let the Leafs make it a 2-0 lead or worse there. And boom, they go, as our buddy Dennis loves to say, bang, bang. And it's 2-1 for the Jets.
It was actually bang, you know bang, it. Bang.
Well, it was bang, bang, bang. You're right. You know, it was.
Can we talk about Dennis's numerology during the broadcast? I'm going to have to text him. I'm going to send him a message.
I was liking that. Yeah.
I did not know he was a numerologist.
He's dropping some science, Dave.
Yeah. He was dropping Dennis 14 and 17 and 65. I didn't know if Ezzy's dad was on the broadcast, you know, retired math professor Ginsburg. Or Dennis Bayak, but there was a lot of numerology going on in that.
I think Dennis was just glad to be able to read the numbers on the back of the Leafs jerseys after last night's Sens game. I know that I was texting with him last night during the Sens game, and the black numbers on the Senators jersey blending in with the red jersey. Never mind calling the game off.
I love those jerseys though.
Back
those
in Winnipeg. Great. It was impossible. I mean, Dean Brown said the same thing, who's the Senators radio play-by-play guy. You know, he said that it's absolutely impossible to tell players apart when the Senators wear that jersey color with the black numbers and on the red jersey. So I think he's glad Dennis was that he was able to see the Leafs numbers tonight, as opposed to have it to struggle through that again.
If we're talking about numbers still, I can't get used to TJ Brody wearing 78. It's just too weird of a number. Is that just me?
Just you.
Shout out to Wade. Hold on. Unrelated to the Jets, but a Manitoba connection. Shout out to Wade Allison from Carmen, Manitoba, wearing number 57, the only person in the history of the Philadelphia Flyers to ever wear 57 tonight for his NHL debut.
Well, channeling first of all, it's Roland, Tyler not Myers. Carmen. You got the hometown wrong.
Yeah, whatever. Same difference.
Roland.
I was texting with his agent, # no big deal. He never corrected me.
He never responded to you. Never
mind. No, I talked to him. What?
Belfour's not going to like that.
Oh, well, he's listed as Carmen, Manitoba. So, I mean, you're Mr. Hockey, Manitoba. So I'll defer to your greater level of knowledge.
Still, I know all of my regions. That's still the Pembina Valley, but it is Roland.
Okay, fair enough.
Far be it for him. And the show Dave and, and thus ends the show for tonight. No, just joking. Anyways, a very good effort for the Winnipeg Jets, a very good win for the Jets. And now you get to come home and you play, you know, your next six all at home, you know, against the Leafs and the Oilers. And you really have an opportunity. Now, I don't expect that all of a sudden the Jets are going to end up leapfrogging the Toronto Maple Leafs. I just don't think that they're going to go on this incredible run because of what I've talked about over the last.
Only 3 points, though.
And they've got three games against them. I know it's only 3 points.
I know they do. I know they do. I know that. But that would, I mean, you, again, if you're going to, you know, you'd have to win, you know, you'd have to get, what, 5 out of 6 points in that series to leapfrog them at that point in time? Mm-hmm. I just don't think that there's necessarily. Yeah. You know, and look, this is a good win just because you can say that you beat the Toronto Maple Leafs again in their arena, in Toronto. I know there's no
in the crowd, second game of a back-to-back. It doesn't matter.
Like in the second game of a back-to-back, right? Without your captain, you know, confidence-wise, this Jets team going on the road, where they have the most road wins in the entire NHL. I believe that's the stat that they were talking about. You know, up to 16 road wins now on the season. So, you know, everything about this game for the Jets is good confidence-wise, because deadline.
True. Sorry. We got it. Sometimes we have to default to the comments. We have to stop the show. So it looks like both Ezzy and I are wrong, because Sean's headband lives right beside. Yeah. I don't agree with that one so much. Sean's headband is telling us that he is from Myrtle, Manitoba.
Right there. Not Roland, Manitoba.
Not Roland. Interesting. He said, and then later on Sean's headband said, and I quote, he is literally his next door neighbor. Now, Sean's headband isn't a specific person. He's just a headband. So we don't necessarily know if he's telling us the truth or not, but that's just a little information.
There you go. We always appreciate the information coming from the good folks who are joining us in the chat. Reminder, if you're new here, welcome. If you're a regular here, welcome back. Hit the subscribe button. Give us a thumbs up. Ring the bell, whatever
it might be. Don't hit it, Drew. Smash it.
Smash it if you want.
Smashing is gentle. It's a little too gentle. Smash it.
Remember the tag team demolition? Remember axe and smash? Smash it, like demolition.
Well, then who's going to axe it? Are they going to axe us?
Well, there's no axing. Speaking of axing, the other guy in demolition.
Can we get rid of the Manuk as a serial killer off the screen?
We can get the Manuk as a serial killer off the screen as soon as I find the other one, which I just saw, which was actually very funny, here from Rob Mahoney. Ezzy looks like a serial killer with the grocery. So that was a good one. So appreciate, again, all the good humor coming from everybody in the chat room tonight. That one was
top three cereals are definitely Mini Wheats.
No, wrong.
Mini Wheats, Fruit Loops. These are mine, not yours.
They're terrible. Mini
Wheats, Frosted Mini Wheats, Fruit Loops.
Oh.
And I'm going to go with Lucky Charms.
Oh my God. I think these are, by the way,
worst taste.
That, and for the record, that's no question. Those are just randomly chosen. There's no way you have ever eaten any of those cereals.
No, I don't actually. Shreddies. There's always Shreddies.
Shreddies.
Like Shreddies too.
Shreddies will be there. Yeah.
Shreddies with blueberries.
Sugar Crisp, Frosted Flakes. I'm not a
Sugar Crisp guy.
Frosted Flakes.
I'm a Honey Nut Cheerios guy myself.
Honey Nut Cheerios is a good one. All right.
Thank you.
Let's finish this digression.
Too pedantic.
You're pedantic. Ville Heinola. Tell me about Ville Heinola's game tonight from your guys' perspective. I thought that he was perfectly reasonable coming back from first game that he's played in a month, both either at the AHL or certainly the NHL level. I thought that Ville Heinola was, he wasn't overly noticeable, and I think that's probably a good thing.
What did he play? I was just going to say, Dave, I think he was only around 13 minutes, right? And, he's not going to, get power play or PK at this point. But we have to just talk about the fact that he was in the lineup was a bit of a curveball, right? Like, we didn't necessarily expect that. We thought maybe it would happen.
No. You weren't on the postgame show last night. If you listened to the postgame show last night, both Dave and I,
really,
for different reasons, thought that this could be a game that we see Ville Heinola. Dave was right.
The only problem is we've been saying that for the last 2 weeks. No, obviously, if you guys said it, I'll have to go back and maybe watch it. But, as you said, Drew, he wasn't super noticeable. Obviously, he doesn't find himself in on any of the goals. But, just the fact that he's in the lineup, I think, is promising. And, we'll wait and see what happens, and if he stays in the lineup on Saturday, I wouldn't be surprised. But, considering that he hadn't played in a game in approximately a month, right? Mm-hmm. Just watching him. I mean, we know all the skill he has. He's a great skater. And, he was just making simple plays, moving the puck. Late in the game, he jumped up in the play. But he obviously, wasn't, jumping up into the play too much. But, yeah, I thought he was overall pretty solid for a guy who hasn't played in a game in a long time.
Yeah, and I think that's probably what the Jets wanted to see from him. It's what Paul Maurice wanted to see from him. There was a play, I think, in the first period where he made a good read at the blue line, at the offensive blue line, kept the puck in well, and it led to not really what I would call a scoring chance, but it led to some more zone time. I thought his decision-making, for the most part, was what you would want it to be. This was a game against the Leafs that is more suited for him than other games. The Leafs don't right now, especially not with, without a guy like Nick Foligno in the lineup who might play a more physical style. The Leafs aren't a very physical team. So Heinola, his speed, his puck moving ability, a good first pass. Those are all the things that you want to see from him. And he was able to execute that tonight against the Leafs. And, if that's how he's going to perform for the Jets, on a night in, night out basis, then that's certainly what the Jets would want. And, if Paul Maurice's decision, comes down to has too many quality defensemen, again, that is certainly a good problem for the Jets coach to have and for the Jets team to have, Dave.
Yeah, and the only thing I would say is, it's his first game in the month, but his first game from an AHL game, right? I mean, his first game, NHL game was January 21st.
So 3 months.
So it's been a long time since he played at this level. And again, like we've talked about, we cover the AHL. We know what the AHL is like. It's a great league, but it's not the NHL. And it's a different game. It's a different animal. And it takes some time to get adjusted to it. And I don't care how much practice you've been having. And we talked about it, right? This is a different situation than Jansen Harkins jumping in defense is always going to be a lot more challenging because there's a lot more pressure on you than when you're playing forward. So I thought he had a decent game given the fact that it was his first one in, let's essentially say in 3 months at this level. So it's one of those situations where, you know, and it was crazy when Paul Maurice said in the pregame that Villanueva was coming in, Logan Stanley was coming out, and people were so excited that Villanueva was coming in. It was like the free Hainola moment. But then it was almost like people were apoplectic that Logan Stanley was coming out. And we talked about this yesterday, Drew, how funny, and even on Saturday, Desi, how crazy it is. What a crazy world we live in, where the world, where Jets fans are so upset about Logan Stanley coming out of the lineup. So, I mean, we don't know about Derek Forbert. He was obviously hurt in that last on that play when the Leafs had pulled the goaltender to try and get in.
What about that high stick? Like I think we all are big Zach Hyman fans.
That was a
but
chainsaw more than a high
that,
stick.
Yeah, that was pretty dangerous because they were battling and yeah. It looked like Pionk also got a piece of that.
That's
right?
What I mean. Like
I was surprised that wasn't a major actually.
Well, that's what I mean. So he got Pionk and he also got Forbert. So to me, it's a function of, you know, is Forbert okay? Because again, he went to the bench. And I don't think he came on after that. So we don't know if everything's okay with him. So you may see Logan Stanley in. We'll see. I don't know what's going to happen there. But, like I said, I think it's one of those games, as he said it, he only played 13 minutes, not a ton of time. But it's kind of like dip his toe in. He's not going to throw him in the deep end yet. He just wants to get him going, feeling comfortable again. And we'll see, right? I mean, you've got an Edmonton Oilers team. Again, not an overly physical, aggressive team. It's not like you're playing the Flames. You know, the Oilers aren't really like that. So to me, if you're going to have the Oilers on Saturday, and Drew, I have to tell you, I'm going to just sidebar a little bit. Okay. I'm shocked that you haven't already, unless I missed it, been screaming because the Leafs Canucks game was canceled for Saturday. How are you not already asking for the game to be a little flex and them to move the Jets game up?
Oh,
it's a 9 o'clock start. I was actually waiting. I thought like this was all Drew. That's a Mandel thing right there.
No,
it was like, maybe I missed it, but I didn't see you complaining. And I thought for sure you were going to say they'd move the game to a 6 or 7 o'clock start. But again, I don't mind because I like being up.
I thought it was an 8 o'clock start.
No. You're talking about, but Montreal Ottawa is also happening on Saturday night. So they'll just make Montreal Ottawa the national game and they'll keep the Jets and the Oilers.
What time is that game though?
Well,
Montreal Ottawa?
Yeah.
6 o'clock.
Oh, so it's the same time as the.
It was the
well,
same.
Well, boys, we've got Harna Ryan Singh coming on, so we'll ask him about it.
There you go. That's on Saturday's Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We'll also be joined by the headband himself, Sean Reynolds, who actually his new nickname might not be Rennie anymore. He might be Headband, Dave Jameson, our buddy from Edmonton as well, going to join us on Saturday's Illegal Curve Hockey Show. But, you know, before we get to talking about that, you know, it is interesting, though. You mentioned, of course, that the Canucks schedule is getting rejigged again. The Oilers were supposed to play in Vancouver tomorrow night, and then they were going to fly to Winnipeg post game, arriving in Winnipeg. I mean, they lose 2 hours, so they probably wouldn't have gotten into Winnipeg until about, you know, 2-3 o'clock on the second half of a back-to-back. Instead, you're going to have a rested Oilers team that'll fly to Winnipeg tomorrow and face the Jets with you know, a more legitimate, I'll say, schedule behind them, having that Canucks game postponed or canceled or the schedule.
Drew, why was that game even scheduled? Like,
it was crazy.
Can we talk about that?
Of course, because, you know, and it's funny you mentioned that, Ezzy. So
it's ridiculous.
I tweeted that it was ridiculous that they would even actually, it might be being corrected right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't want to interrupt you, Drew, but it looks like you're wrong.
Oh, I'm shocked. I apologize. So there might even be some additional changes to the schedule. The NHL did say that they're going to come out with some schedule changes tomorrow. So maybe the Saturday night game does get changed for the Jets and the Oilers. We'll find out obviously more, and we'll bring you all that latest information on a little website called
IllegalCurve.com.
There you go. Very good there, Dave Minuk. Going back to your question, Ezzy. I mean, it was crazy. I mean, the NHLPA allegedly, you know, signed off. I believe it. The NHLPA signed off on this Canucks return to play schedule. And I tweeted about it and said that Donald Fehr is actually stealing money from the players if he agreed to that schedule that the Canucks have to go through from now
until
the end
of
the regular season.
It literally makes no sense. Well, we all saw and heard JT Miller's comments. Right. Like, I mean, JT Miller, that's one of the top players on the Canucks. And he's literally saying, like, we should not be playing yet. We are not ready to play. And you could even make the argument that, you know, the Canucks shouldn't play the remaining games based on what's happened. I mean, the COVID virus has just decimated their entire team, right?
The entire organization, and their coaching staff too.
Right. So, I mean, like, a game shouldn't have been scheduled for, I don't know, at least a week from today.
No argument at all. And, you know, somebody had the temerity on Twitter. So I tweeted about it saying that, you know, that this is ridiculous. This is a crazy schedule that, you know, the NHLPA should be ashamed of themselves. I don't expect anything better from the NHL, but the NHLPA should definitely have pushed back harder on that. And somebody had the temerity to come at me and say, oh, you and your hot takes, what's the big deal? They're professional athletes, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, you know, I sort of want to go find the tweet and say, hey, you know, here you go. You know, you're not tweeting at me so often anymore, but that's okay. That's a separate issue entirely. I mean, it was a crazy decision. It was irresponsible. I'm glad that JT Miller said what he said, and that obviously the decision has been made to change everything back to, back to at least what'll look like a more normal schedule, if it even comes to that. But the Jets and the Oilers will still happen Saturday night. We know that. As for what time, well, that'll find out obviously more tomorrow. Maybe 9 o'clock, maybe 6 o'clock. It's going to be one or the other. It's not going to be anything other than those two times. But it'll be another big game between the Jets and the Oilers, because
especially given what happened in Edmonton the last two games on that road trip.
Like the Jets
last two games. I'm saying for the Jets, you know, the Jets, they lost those two games against the Oilers, and you got to think. You got to have that in your mind a little bit, right? The idea is you don't want to, especially considering things are setting up to look like it's going to be or at least it looks like we thought, you know, that it was going to be a Jets Oilers series. Mm-hmm. So you've lost the last two to Edmonton. You don't want to have that bad feeling against them. So you feel good against Toronto, what you did. And you feel like you, as he said, and he's not wrong, you know, when the team is missing Austin Matthews, William Nylander, doesn't have Nick Foligno in the lineup yet, things will look a little bit different. And again, the Jets are missing Blake Wheeler, so there's a player, big player from them. But those are three pretty – I mean, again, they've never had Nick Foligno, so they can't qualify him as a big player. But he will be a big part of that group, I think.
I think his influence is going to be is overrated, but that's usually what happens.
I actually think, again, I think if they put him with Nylander and Tavares, I think they'll – I think he's exactly what you would want for a playoff team in Toronto. Again, I could be wrong, but I think, I don't think he overrates the goaltending situation there, but I think from a dynamic, like from what he brings to a team, I think, as he agrees with me, I think he's kind of what you'd want.
Foligno is a really good player. I, you know what, Drew, I, you know, we did our trade deadline show and I think you're still thinking maybe they gave up a little bit too much, and you could be right. I just think, you know, that's the type of player. We know what he's done. He's got a lot of playoff experience. I don't know how many.
Wayne Simmons and Joe Thornton already. That's my point.
Nick Foligno is not. You can't compare Nick Foligno to those two guys. First off, Jumbo Joe is he's a little bit. No, Thornton was actually really good tonight. Like, I'm just saying, Thornton is how many years older than every other player? He's at least 10 years older than Foligno, but Foligno's got a lot of versatility. And yeah, I'm with Dave. Like, we don't really know where he's going to slot in. He could really play on any line, and he can play center and wing, and he can kill penalties. So he's a really good player. I'll put it that much. I'll say that much. But I do think you can make an argument that maybe they gave up a little bit too much. But the Leafs are going for it, boys. Like, we know they're going for
this. That's what we talked about.
It's Stanley Cup or bust. They're going to lose so many players. And, you know, Freddie Anderson's most likely not going to be re-signed. He's a pending UFA. So, but I really like Foligno. But we'll see what happens.
That's a separate. Exactly. Time will tell about that acquisition, but that's not why we're here tonight. We're talking about the Winnipeg Jets victory over the Toronto Maple Leafs, a 5-2 victory for the Winnipeg Jets. They finished the road trip with a 4-1 record, 8 of a possible 10 points. So certainly a successful road trip. They get three out of, you know, they played three games against teams in playoff position, and they got three wins against those three games. So, you know, you can't do much better than that, especially as you head into this final sort of stretch against playoff teams. The next six against playoff teams after that, I believe it's one game against the Habs, and that's all they have left against teams that are currently in a playoff spot. So really, after the next six games, it's really, you know, you're beating up against the bottom feeders in the North Division, who will have well, likely very little to play for, although Calgary is beginning to maybe make it a little bit more interesting.
I think they went from I think they went from a 4% chance to a 7.1%. And I think Montreal's percentage dropped from 94 to 91. It's over.
It's over, Rock. But they're at least making them think about it. It's only 3 points now. If you take away the games in playoffs.
And I actually think they're playing each other a bunch coming up. So, I mean, look, it obviously, I'm not saying it's completely outside the realm of possibility, but it's not very
likely. No, it's over.
I'm here to say
it's not happening.
Let's hear from Winnipeg Jets head coach Paul Maurice. You're listening, of course, to the Illegal Curve post-game show. I'm going to cue him up and get him on the screen for you coming up here in just 2 seconds. The Jets head coach speaking to the media in Toronto following tonight's Jets 5-2 victory over the Maple Leafs.
Thanks, Gregor. Hey, Paul. I noticed your fastest players seem to be really fast tonight, getting up ice, a lot of their goals, you know, pushing the play down ice. I'm wondering, since you made that switch in the lines, is there something about, you know, defensive style players like Stastny and Kopp with Ehlers and Dubois with Scheifele and Connor? Is it something about those players that frees, you know, your speedier players, frees them up to push the pace up ice?
So the theory's right. I don't know that it matches with what happened tonight. But Stas and Kopp, Stas specifically in the middle, and then Andrew kind of those good reads allows Nicky to. Except Nikolai Ehlers was a real good defensive player tonight. I mean, he was hard on the walls. He was physical. I mean, he was good. And then I think what happened with the other line is, you know, that first goal against, you know, they know, right? Mark turns one over inside the line, and then we get beat on a rush, and then they miss a rotation. And so I think they just got angry, you know, and then the Killers went out. I mean, the key to our game tonight was our penalty killing. That was the change in momentum. It got us emotionally engaged in the game. We fed off that. And then, you know, had the quick strikes right after that. So, but I think I understand what you're saying. I think there's a right idea there. I don't know if it manifests itself because Nick wasn't, you know, pure offense tonight. He scored two big goals for sure, but they're almost, you know, the 5-on-5 goal is an effort goal coming off the line, off a lost draw. And the best part of his game were all the defensive things that he did. And as soon as Scheifele, Connor, and Dubois kind of got a little angry, they started grinding in their own end harder, which opened up those rush plays.
We'll go next to Mike McIntyre from the Winnipeg Free Press. Go ahead, Mike.
Evening, Paul. You sort of touched on it a little bit, and feel free to tell me if I'm way off with this sort of theory, but in a weird way, I mean, is the best thing that could have happened to your group tonight is to go down early, the adversity with the going down two men? I know you weren't happy about that call, like that you guys did play angry.
I wasn't happy with a bunch of them, but yeah, so there was emotion that got built right into that, right? Like you're, everybody's a little edgy right now. That's 17 at 22, right? We don't have a road game in our time zone. So you're, a little fatigue coming into the game and you're a little edgy, but you need almost a starter, a catalyst to bring it out. And I think the great kill, that was the catalyst to get us a little angry enough. And then it came out and then we were pretty good.
We'll go next to Paul Friesen from the Winnipeg Sun. Go ahead, Paul.
Paul, you guys have been throwing that number at us a fair bit, the 17 and 22, but you got more road wins than anyone. I mean, could you be a better road team than a home team?
I take that, Paul. I think to be a good road team, a bunch of things, you've got to be smart. You got to be hard. You have to be comfortable, patient, playing a simple game. And that's the game. The road game is the game that's played in the playoffs. So I would take that. I mean, I bring that number up for a reason. Somebody told me that it hasn't happened since 1980. A team play that many games after the game, and we don't got a road game in our time zone. So when I looked at the schedule, that block from March 8th to the 19th of April for me was we were either going to sink or swim on that. And maybe what's happened is we found our identity in that. I fired it out on purpose a lot of times just so people fully appreciate this. It hasn't been easy, and this team's done a good job.
Well, next to Jason Bell from the Free Press. Go ahead, Jason.
Paul Hanala plays tonight, and he doesn't jump off the page, but maybe that's a good thing for his first hockey game. And sure. I don't know if there's any blame there on the Tavares goal or not. You can tell me, but I thought he afforded himself okay. Your assessment?
Yeah. So as I said before, I wasn't going to assess this game one way or the other. That's not him on the goal. So get in, get through it, have enough presence to play your game simply. There's nothing glaring there, which is really good. So he did what he needed to do, right? We know he can get through a game. We'll have opportunities as we go forward here to get him to play more, but it was a good game for him.
I'll go next to Ken Weed from Sportsnet. Go ahead, Weed.
Paul, just asking you to go back into the time machine. What do you remember about the first time you saw Nikolai Ehlers, and how different does that player look today?
Oh, the truth. What if I tell you the truth? Okay, so the first time I saw Nikolai Ehlers was on video in a playoff series when he was in Halifax. And, oh, my God, it was 2.5-minute shifts. I think he got kicked out one of the games by the ref. But dynamic. And, you know, we were just talking about Nikolai, the player that he's developed into. Like, he's a competitive guy, right? Like, he's battling on the walls. He's winning battles. He's throwing hits. He's just competing to win. I think he's having a lot of fun. But what I wish he knew was what the guys on the bench say every time he does that, right? Like that's a guy that can drive you into the game. His back checks, his hits, his battles on the wall. The bench loves that more than, you know, when Laos does it, it's kind of like great hit. But when Nikki does it, you're going, wow, that's awesome. That's special. And it the goals are almost secondary. We know he's going to score, but his game now has evolved where you think this guy's a playoff guy now, where 2-3 years ago he was having a hard time, you know, in that heavy environment, and now he looks like he's starting to thrive in it.
And final question, Murat Attash from The Athletic. Go ahead, Murat.
Paul, I was about to ask about the PK and Forbert and Kuhlman and Kopp, but just on the Ehlers thread, you know, he was saying how proud he is to be somebody that people in Denmark can look up to. The hockey world's getting smaller, but there's still places like that where there's a handful of stars. Right. What do you think that means to a guy like that?
Well, he's always carried himself in just a really professional manner, right? Comes kind of from a hockey family, with his dad being a coach over there. And when you watch Nikki around kids or around fans, he's always very giving, and he's got time for people. So what's really brilliant about this is 10 years from now, when he, you know, may end up being high scoring Danish player, he's going to be a figurehead of the sport in that country. And he's going to be able to do so much for young people there. So that's the great payoff, right? They get a really fantastic ambassador, who's valued in Canada and valued in his kind of second country, but he'll get to go home and improve young people's lives because he's that kind of person. So he's a good national treasure.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve post-game show, Thursday evening, just before 9:30 at night. Drew Mandel, Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you. So nice to see so many of you joining us on this Thursday night to talk about the Jets' 5-2 victory over the Toronto Maple Leafs, moving the Jets, getting the Jets closer to the Toronto Maple Leafs, 3 points behind the Leafs now in the battle for top spot in the North Division, 5 points up on the Edmonton Oilers, the Oilers with 2 games in hand, and of course the Oilers next in town to play the Jets as the Jets come home for 6 in a row after the lengthy road trip that they've been on for the last month or so. A little home cooking, exactly. Paul Maurice addressing that road trip in his post-game comments there, sort of just saying that, you know, this was the chunk of time, this was the stretch of the season that was going to, you know, I'm going to paraphrase here, make or break the team's season. And clearly it made it. You know, the Jets are certainly in the upper echelon in the North Division. And based on tonight's performance, this is Jets team is not, I think they were a little, they feel a little disrespected, I'll be honest, because, you know, when you hear the teams that are the best teams in the league talked about, the Jets are never one of the first teams to come off anybody's tongue. And I think to some extent, people are in that dressing room are saying, keep denigrating us, keep disrespecting us at your own peril. We're gonna show you. And tonight's performance was one of those, show me performances by the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah, absolutely. And if I was wearing a hat, I would tip it to the infamous Harvey Minook as well. But you know, you're right, Drew. And
not your relative.
No, but I mean, I'm so close to so many Minooks that I'm pretty much a relative by association. Dave will tell you that.
As close and needing restraining orders is not a good thing.
That might be the case. But no, you're right, Drew. I mean, like, look at, I mean, we know this is a unique season. And we knew going into the season, like, when the season started, who did we talk about as Stanley Cup favorites, right? The Tampa Bay Lightning, defending champions. Colorado was the sexy pick. The Jets were not a Stanley Cup favorite, and most people had them, you know, finishing third or fourth in the North Division. But
scratching and clawing to be a playoff team.
Right, but I think, you know, and I think C-Mac, you know, trying to, you know, as we're doing the show, keep an eye on the comments. C-Mac made a really good point there. It was a few minutes ago about, you know, the balance on this Jets team with Pierre-Luc Dubois as opposed to Jack Roslovic. There's the comment right there. You know, we talked about that at the time of the trade, guys. Like, this wasn't just a one for one trade, obviously, but it was also a trade that, you know, addressed a glaring weakness. And I think the fact that you can flip flop both Dubois and Stastny from the wing to the center, and that's why I said this at the beginning of the post game show, boys. Like, I think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens here. You know, if they keep Dubois on the wing, or, you know, if they move Stastny back to the wing. I mean, if Wheeler comes back, I mean, the logical decision would probably be, you know, move Dubois back to center and then Stastny goes to the wing. But, you know, we've said this also before, it doesn't really matter, right? Like, depending on what's going on and which lines are clicking, which the top two lines are definitely clicking now, you know, you're going to roll with that. And it doesn't really matter, you know, if Stastny's on the wing or at center. But, you know, this is the most balanced forward group we've seen since that run in 2018. There's no doubt. And when you stack up the Jets against the Leafs, or you stack up the Jets against the Oilers, or the Canadiens, yeah, you might say that the Jets defense is a little bit weaker than the Leafs. Certainly it's not weaker than the Oilers. And, you know, I would probably give maybe a slight advantage to the Habs, especially when Ben Chiarot's healthy. But I mean, this Jets team is right up there. They're 3 points behind first place, right? Like, the regular season's winding down, boys. Like, this isn't a joke anymore. You know, we talked about the Jets have the most road wins. Like, you know, they're a top 10. They're at the very least a top 10 team in the league right now, based on, you know, what's happened. And we know they've got one of the best goalies, if not the best goalie in the league. And if he gets hot in the playoffs and they win a round, you know, why can't they go farther?
There's no reason at all. Let's talk about Blake Wheeler, and let's assume he returns to the lineup.
Drew, before we do that, we got to talk about another thing. There are almost 400 people in this chat.
Yeah.
We need more likes. Come on, people. Hey, Drew and I alone, after the Senators win,
Stanley, that like button,
had 250 likes, which is great. We appreciate that. But I mean, come on. We got Ezzy now. We've got Ezzy now. We got to celebrate the big man.
Sell exactly.
Ezzy will not put up. He will not tolerate less than 200 likes.
Don't do it for me. Don't do it for Dave. Do it for Ezzy's beard.
Do it for the beard. That's what I was going to say. Do it for my beard.
Yes. Listen to what Mike Severino said.
Good man.
Hit the thumbs up. Punch the subscribe. Ring the bell. Exactly right. That's what we want to see. Good evening to everybody. Of course, just
Lennox Lewis. That subscribe button.
There you go. Nice. There you go. He's Canadian, so it Canadian and British, and, you know, so it's
and Jamaican
of, and Jamaican. He's got.
He's my favorite boxer of all time. I remember watching I want to say it was the 1988 Olympics. I was only six.
I was going to say you were 6 years old. You don't remember anything.
I remember that. Yeah, I watched it with my dad for sure. He beat Riddick Bowe in the I think it was Seoul Olympics.
That would be 1988. I need somebody to Google if he actually beat Riddick Bowe in the.
That was Riddick Bowe. It was Riddick Bowe.
I was going to say it does sound kind of familiar.
That's not Ezzy pulling that one out was not what I expected tonight in the post game.
That was a little Sugar Ray Ginsburg for you right there.
Like, if you want me to pull, who was the guy that was he fought Riddick Bowe and or Lennox Lewis and he started crying in Butterbean. The ring.
No, it wasn't Butterbean. I know who you're talking about, Ezzy.
What was that guy's name?
McCall. Oliver McCall.
Yes. Good memory.
Thank you. I don't know how I pulled that one out. And yes, T. Kona Pauly.
Yeah, that's true. You know, good
this
point.
Is Donnie Lalonde.
Yes, the golden boy.
when he fought Vegas, yep, against Sugar Ray, my dad went to that fight. I guess that would have been 1987, 88, something like that. But yeah, there you go, Oliver McCall. I think I should leave now.
Was also wearing, I think, a chinchilla jacket at that point.
Drew, by the way, you might want to leave on a high note, because that pulling that Oliver McCall was pretty good.
Shout out to Razor Ruddock as well.
You know what?
You like that one, Dave?
The only way that this show can end is have Fan Man fly into one of our houses, and just like he did that in whatever match that was, you know, in the open air stadium.
Yeah. What was that? God.
I don't remember who the fight was, but seeing the Fan Man fly in and then both boxers just start pummeling him.
Yeah, wasn't Tyson?
How did that guy even get in there? Like, was he already in the arena? Like,
no,
was that
it was an open air. It was an open air.
Open air. Okay.
Yeah.
And then the fans started pummeling him. Like, it was unbelievable. Yeah. Anyways, back.
I'm definitely going to be YouTubing that tonight.
Yeah, there's no question. You're probably YouTubing it right now while we're on air.
I'm Googling to see what fight it was right now. If that Riddick Bowe against Evander Holyfield.
Real deal.
Unfortunately, Fan Man will not be coming to the show. He died in 2002.
Ooh.
So our condolences to Fan Man and all of his family for that.
Yeah, maybe we should segue out of boxing then, clearly.
Anyways, what I was going to say, let's assume Wheeler comes back on Saturday night.
I don't think he's going to. I
don't you don't think he's back?
No. I mean, like, look, the Jets aren't skating tomorrow.
Right.
So you're not. So what are you going to do? You're going to skate him on Saturday and throw him in? And then remember, you have 3 days between the Jets and the Leafs game, which is until Wednesday. So to me, based on we don't know how he is, but I would suspect, and again, I could be wrong, but I think Paul Maurice is going to want to get him banging and crashing in a practice before he's willing to throw him in. So I'm not saying I have any insight to this. I would just be shocked if Blake Wheeler plays Saturday. I think you're much more likely to see him. I'm assuming the Jets take Sunday off and practice on Monday.
Friday and Sunday are both off days, if I recall their weekly schedule.
No, correctly. Tomorrow for sure is an off day. But and I'm thinking Saturday, Sunday. I think Palmer said that yesterday. Sunday's an off day as well. So the reality, Ezra, I just saw the end of that comment. So the truth is, from my point of view, is that you're not going to put Blake Wheeler and rush him in. There's no need to, right? You don't need to play him on Saturday. And why not give him an extra few days to heal and be ready to go when the Jets play the Leafs on Wednesday? So again, I'm not saying that you're wrong, Drew. I'm just saying I'd be shocked to see the captain on Saturday. I think you're much more likely to see him if he's healthy and ready to go on Wednesday night.
Right. And we know, and I was just going to say, Drew, you know, quickly, we know how serious concussions are, and the Jets take everyone who has a concussion seriously. So even though he's skating, I agree. And I mean, there is speculation at this point, and, you know, we obviously hope that, you know, Wheeler is back in the lineup sooner rather than later. But I agree with Dave. I would be pretty surprised if he's in on Saturday, and I would expect, you know, him to use this time off. And there's no connection between where the Jets are in the standings. I really don't believe that. Like, I think even if the Jets were, let's say, fourth place in the division, I don't think they're going to rush Wheeler back. But the fact that he's skating is what we should be focusing on. He'll get back in the lineup, but I just wouldn't necessarily expect it for, you know, 2 days from now.
That's right.
That's fair. I mean, the reason I was asking about it or is that, you know, the sort of what's gone not talked about very much during this road trip and during the, you know, four out of the five victories, is that the performance of the Perreault-Appleton-Lowry line has not been what it was when it was Kopp, Lowry, and Appleton. In fact, it would go, a line that for the most part was a possession positive line, had been playing very well and contributing a lot. You know, we're not seeing the same levels of contribution from Perreault, Appleton, and Lowry that we saw when Kopp was there and Perreault was on the fourth line with Thompson and Lewis. So, I mean, I just think that, you know, that line is a little bit out of sorts.
Not Matthew Perreault, for the record. He's been unbelievable.
Yeah, but a lot of his stuff he's been very effective on the power play.
I understand that it's special teams. I'm just saying he seems to be flying. I thought that, I don't know, I just thought that the Lowry, Appleton just didn't seem to have a lot of jam. I just thought to myself, like, and again, I just didn't think that they were, I don't know what it was. It just seemed off. It just didn't seem like they had that jump.
The last couple games, though, I would say it's been like that.
Yeah, no, I think it's a fair assessment. I don't think that they've been phenomenal. I just think that Matty Perreault just seems like a player who's been, to me, even 5-on-5, I thought he's looked good. I think he seems to just he just is like, he seems like he's reborn. Like he really does seem this year is like, I was going to tweet it. Like, to me, he's almost like, if you didn't see the gray in his beard, you'd think it was Matthew Perreault from 5 years ago. Yeah. Like he's really, he's just doing it like with whatever he's given. He's just doing so much with it.
And I've said this, you know, to you guys on the show before, like he's healthy, right? And
yes, absolutely. He wasn't
healthy last year. And that's huge for him, knowing that night in, night out, you know, he's in the lineup. He's not going, you know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks out of the lineup. But, you know, Drew, it's a good observation, right? And you know, that speaks to how good of a player Andrew Kopp is, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, you know, it feels like we haven't been talking about him as much. He's having a career year, right? Like, you know, back up the Brinks truck for Kopp's next contract, right? So, yeah, I mean, I've liked Mason Appleton, you know, in that Blake Wheeler spot on the power play. And, you know, Dave's right. I mean, Perreault has been the best player on that third line. But, yeah, when you've had a line that's been so consistent all year and then you move Kopp up, because Wheeler's out, you know, it's going to have an impact on that line. So that's definitely something to watch here on this homestand, because we know what Paul Maurice said. I mean, now is the time that you want to really, you know, kind of solidify your lineup. And even though you've seen some line blendering on the top two lines, you don't really expect it on the bottom two lines at this point in the season. And then as soon as Blake Wheeler, you know, comes back into the lineup, you'd probably expect, you know, Kopp drops down to the third line, Perreault drops down to the fourth line, you know, and then Stastny goes back to the wing, Dubois goes back to center. You know, it's kind of like moving chess pieces on a chessboard, right?
Well, that's, I think, I mean, we talked about the Jets' depth and their forward depth and the options that Paul Maurice has, you know, since the trade, since the Dubois-Line-A trade happened. And I think that's what you're going to see come playoff time. If there's ever a game, you know, where, you know, the top six just isn't clicking like he wants them to, he knows that he can sort of do a quick shuffle, just swap centermen, swap a winger or two, and really it might just rejuvenate them that quickly. I mean, that's what, you know, he's not, you know, it's when you're shuffling the lines now, or when he's shuffling the lines, he's not taking somebody from sort of a, he's not taking a Matthew Perreault from a fourth line role and bringing them, you know, bringing him to a first line role. You know, he's got that ability to shuffle that six up, the top six, and create something that could work just internally that way, and leave the bottom two lines, you know, productive, assuming that they, you know, are in a productive state. And that's just a depth level that not a lot of teams have. And that's, I mean, you know, look, everybody on Monday was a little bit apoplectic, I'd say, about the lack of a you know, a major acquisition on the back end, and saying, you know the TSN guys, and you know, we're you know, very vocal, a lot of them saying, you know, this is going to cost the Jets. They can't believe that Kevin Cheveldayoff didn't do more. I read an article today from Greg Wyshynski on ESPN saying similar, you know, can't believe that, I believe he called it general manager malfeasance, if I'm not mistaken. You know, and
that's ridiculous. But I think that's ridiculous, though. I'm not saying necessarily Greg Wyshynski, but just in general, because I realize a lot of people thought the Jets were going to do more, but it sounds like Chevy wasn't trying. Like, that's the biggest misconception here. Like, Chevy was trying to acquire players. So, I mean, sometimes you don't get the player that you want. And there were some names out there that I know a lot of Jets fans wanted, like whether that's Jamie Oleksiak, whether that's, you know, Josh Manson. And I'm in that camp as well. I like both of those defensemen.
Well, Elliot Friedman reported.
It's not like Chevy wasn't trying. So I think it's, you know, not necessarily, you know, fair to say that it's, you know, malfeasance is the word that you used. I don't think I know what that means, but I don't think it's fair to use that word.
It wasn't that was the word that was used by other people. For the record, I'm quoting what somebody else wrote. And, you know, somebody, you know, give Ezzy a dictionary. He can look up that word, no problem whatsoever. You know, the name that Elliot Friedman reported in 31 Thoughts this week was Vladislav Gavrikov out of Columbus. And, you know, he certainly would have looked very good in a Winnipeg Jets uniform on the back end.
But we talked about that on Saturday, right? Like, the reason why Savard was the guy is because we know Jones, Werenski, and Gavrikov were the guys they're going to protect in the expansion draft. Gavrikov was just signed. He's a really good defenseman. So I can understand why Jarmo wasn't willing to part with him.
Or Chevy wasn't willing, Kevin Cheveldayoff wasn't willing to pay the price it would take
to get him.
Because to your point,
You'd have to think a first rounder and a prospect would have been required there. Maybe more.
maybe even more. Exactly right. Gavrikov is a guy who's under contract, similar to Josh Manson, that he's, I believe, under contract for at least another year. And I don't know if he becomes RFA at that point or if it's straight UFA. But in any event, obviously didn't work out. But I do think that, internally, the Jets defense probably, gets a little bit of a chip on their shoulder when everyone's already selling them out and saying they're not going to be good enough. They're not going to be able to, push comes to shove. They're not going to get the job done come playoff time. Tonight, they were good enough. They killed off the 5-on-3. They did a lot of other good things. It was a 5-2 victory for the Jets. You can't ask for much more to end a road trip like that than what you saw from the Winnipeg Jets tonight. In taking a quality Toronto Maple Leafs team and really taking them out to the woodshed a little bit in tonight's effort. Final thoughts from you two gentlemen before we wrap it up and go on our merry way for this Thursday evening.
Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
No, I was just going to say I think it was a good road trip. I mean, it was an enjoyable post-game show once again. Before people go to see our friends Kenny and Rennie, we want you to smash that like button. Make sure you're subscribing. We appreciate your support. And that's about it. We'll have plenty more. I'm going to do some post-game recap on a little site called IllegalCurve.com. And even though the Jets are off, we will continue. The Moose are practicing tomorrow. We'll have the morning papers bright and early at 7 o'clock for your perusing needs.
For everybody asking about Dave's background and the lack of the whiteboard.
Guys, I got to change it up. I can't just always have the same sort of situation. Look, my fireplace, my Saturday fireplace isn't available. Guys, I change things up. I got to keep it I'm not going to tell everybody what background I'm going to have on a nightly basis.
You guys have no idea how many different estates Dave Minuk has. So he's might be at his country estate. Later on, he's going to be at his lakefront estate.
Yeah, he could be in LA, New York, Vegas. Yeah. Like, you have no idea.
When you're Dave Minuk, the world is your oyster. And when you're Ezra Ginsberg, he eats that oyster.
Usually when it's bad.
Hey, oysters are an aphrodisiac.
Oh God, oh boy! Oh boy! That image is gonna haunt people for the rest of the night. Finish. Give us a final thought, Ezzy, and let it not be about aphrodisiacs.
Yeah, well, my Jets-related final thought is I agree. Very impressive road trip. I mean, 8 of 10 on the road. The Jets are absolutely killing it. Road Warriors. Shout out to Animal and Hawk. And as far as my cereal-related,
one of them is dead. I'm not sure which one.
Well, you can still shout them out, though.
Yeah, that's no problem. I think it was Hawk, by the way. But my cereal-related final take is that someone mentioned multigrain Cheerios is a great cereal. Absolutely not. I'm sticking with Shreddies, Mini Wheats, and Fruit Loops. Top three.
Yeah, but you're not supposed to eat all three of them at the same time.
That's like granola. I get that Nature Valley granola stuff. Chia and other stuff, kale or something. I like that stuff.
Puff Wheat was a classic in the big bags. You remember the old big bags of Puff Wheat?
You got to put some sugar on there, though.
No, I just like them plain. And then little Shreddies. Shreddies is a good one. Rice Krispies. No. I didn't really eat it that very
often. I'm a fan of Rice Krispies. And you mentioned earlier Frosted Flakes.
Frosted Flakes are classic. Yeah. Honey Nut Cheerios were always our family, we were only allowed to have them on Saturdays.
Yes.
So we didn't really have on the weekend, I should say, on the weekend. We weren't allowed sugar cereals. I had enough energy without the sugar, without the additional sugar. I think my mom was already going crazy with me Monday to Friday, so she had to regulate. I was only allowed it on the weekends. Shout out to Cheryl.
I just got a text from my buddy Mark Chua, who's obviously watching the post-game show, and he informs me that both Animal and Hawk are dead. So far tonight, we've killed Animal, we've killed Hawk, we've killed Fan Man. I think it's time to kill the feet.
Legion of Doom is one of the best tag teams of all time. And yes, unfortunately, they both passed away. But anytime I have the opportunity to mention Legion of Doom, whether that's Mike Renberg, John LeClair, and Eric Lindros, or the tag team in the WWF, I'm going to take my opportunity.
Well, we look forward to you getting in the ring. You're basically one step away from being a wrestler yourself. On that note, thank you to everybody who's joined us. If you haven't yet, smash the subscribe button, hit the like button, ring the bell on your way out. We remind you, our buddies Kenny and Rennie, Ken Weeb, Sean Reynolds, they're going on there with the post-game show. So if you want more Jets talk, you can head over there. I am your host, Drew Mandel. Dave Minuk is in at least the top right corner for me. Ezra Ginsberg is below both of us until Saturday morning at 9 a.m. when we come back with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We wish you a good night and good luck.